Cindy's going to read in a moment from God's Word, from the book of Deuteronomy. There's Bibles in the pews. I should introduce myself. I'm Piers Bickersteth and the rector here, and it's lovely to be here today. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you've been here regularly, we've been thinking about prayer over the last few weeks. Next week, we're going to start a series in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's chapter 19 to 25. We're picking up where we left off a few months ago in Matthew's Gospel. Today we're going to look at a passage that is by way of a break, but reminds us of some fundamentals of what it is to listen to the Word of God. And we're going to start by hearing this passage from Deuteronomy. The people of God are being addressed by Moses. They're about to go into the Promised Land. He is reminding them of what has happened to them fairly recently in the wilderness. And so Cindy's going to come and read that to us, and then I will preach on this. Let me pray for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active. And we pray that our ears might be open to its truth this morning. That it might not just be truth we hear, but truth that we live by. That truth that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Help us to see him more clearly, for we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you.
So as Piers said, the reading's taken from Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament, and we're starting at chapter 8. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oaths to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig leaves, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills.
Seems a strange question to start with, but have you eaten today? If not, I imagine you will at some point. Daily food is so basic. We don't have to think about eating it. We may have to think about buying it, but it's just part of our daily routine. And there are some foods that are staples. Historically, in this country, it has been bread, as in many other countries. The choices may be great now, maybe other staples such as rice or pasta. Whatever it may be, we know that all life needs bread, or its equivalent, daily food, without which life cannot be sustained. Heard someone at the petrol station last week buying their Greggs pasty, and they said to the girl at the counter, "I'm starving, I could eat a horse." It did not look as if they were starving, I have to say. It did not look as if they had not eaten for days. Rarely have any of us known real hunger. We may say we're hungry, but none of us, unless we're ill, will have gone more than a couple of days without food in our entire life. Yet millions in this world, that is the reality for them today. They do not know where their daily food is going to come from. They are desperate for food. And I imagine this was true for the people of God in the time of Moses that we've just read about. There they were in the wilderness, the desert, barren, dry, hot and inhospitable, and a desperate lack of food. And they weren't there just for a few weeks, they were there for years, 40 years, because they had disobeyed God. You may know they had been in Egypt, they'd been slaves, they'd been oppressed, harshly treated. And then God rescued them, he brought them out through the Red Sea, he saved them, defeated their enemies. And as God saved people, he then instructed them how they were to live as his people. Instructions and promises about the great future, which we'd just been hearing about, the land flowing with milk and honey, which would be theirs. But they failed to go up and take the land. They disobeyed God and did not follow his instructions. They did not believe his promise that he would be with them and enable them to enter the land. And so God punished them and they ended up in the desert. But extraordinary, God's promise of the land, of a future inheritance, remained. And Moses in the wilderness, as they come to this period at the end of the wilderness, is teaching the people lessons to be learnt from that experience. And you can pick it up in verse 2. If you've got a Bible there, it'll help you, I hope. It'll help me if you see what it says. The Lord led you all the way, despite their rebellion. They were not cast off. In the toughest of places, in the hardest of circumstances, God was with them and he was for them and he was doing something in them. Two things, he says, to humble you and to test you. Now, they needed humbling because they thought they knew what was best. They were proud. They thought not going into the promised land was the best option. They doubted God's word and decided in favor of their word, but God humbled them, and he tested them. The sense of testing, of proving, to know what was in their hearts, as it says, to see if they love the Lord their God, not just in the good times, but in the hard times. And part of their humbling was causing them to hunger, because when you're hungry, you're dependent on others. We see that when we see people begging for food. They are dependent on others. And God supplies their need. We read that he fed them with manna, this food from heaven, day by day, just enough. No one's quite sure what this food was, but it was nutritious enough to keep them from famine. But look how the sentence goes on in verse 3. Because here's the point. It was to teach them something. And it was to teach them this, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I guess if you wanted one take-home thing today, it would be that sentence. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God had given them manna, life-giving food, without which they would have starved. He'd given them, though, to teach them something far more important than God's ability to provide for them, though that in itself is an important point. He's not downplaying the importance of bread, but he's saying much more to life than bread. Literally translated, not bread only, but the mouth of God. What is it then that comes from the mouth of the Lord? Well, like what comes from my mouth at the moment, it's his speech, his word. We often refer to the Bible as God's word, because this is what it is. It is the written record of God's speech, what comes out of his mouth. The Bible, we say, is God's word. If we want to know what God has to say, there's no mystery, there's no guessing, there's no, well, I think this is what God would have said. No, he's revealed it here. This is the revealed record of God's word. And what does this record contain but his great plans and purposes to rescue a people for himself through his son Jesus Christ out of his great love? It contains his promises, his instructions, what the future holds, and so much more, all revealed in his word. And Moses is saying to the people that this word of God not only provided daily food, but it promises far, far more. Bread would keep them alive physically as it does us. But the word of God gives life its meaning. It gives it its purpose, its value, where we find love, real love, divine love. That is the love of God in Jesus. Costly, self-sacrificial, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-saving love. And it's where we find hope and peace and comfort and security and joy. As we said earlier, all life needs bread. Human life needs the mouth of the Lord. Bread to keep us alive, the Bible to give life its meaning. But as a Western culture, we've had decades, well, at least two centuries, of moving to a position where we no longer want to hear from God. Bread alone, we say, is all we need in our materialistic world. We think we can do fine without God. And increasingly, we find as a culture, his word is irrelevant and out of date, and actually far more than that, it's increasingly dangerous and restrictive of human freedom, and it therefore needs to be sidelined and actually silenced. But this word today reminds us of just how essential God's word is. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we believe that God speaks today. This is a living word. If we will listen and humble ourselves, we will find it to be the word of life. This is why we're looking at this passage today, to remind ourselves just how essential God's word is. It is at the center of our life together as the people of God, as a church. For our Heavenly Father is at the center, and his Son, our Lord Jesus. But what place does this word have in our personal lives, day by day? This time of year always has a sense, doesn't it, of a new year, certainly for those with children in education. It's a new beginning. But actually, that's true for all of us as we return, or some of us return from summer holidays to a more familiar landscape. Not the restrictions of lockdown of the past 18 months. So there's a going back to school, there's a going back to uni, there's a going back to the office. There is a resetting for many of us of patterns of life after months of disruption. If you like, we're going back to basics, what we used to do. What patterns will we establish, or what new patterns will we start? Daily food, there's no problem looking after that. But man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So what place does God's word have in our daily routine, in our daily diet? Or are we like those in the wilderness, identifying those as who follow God, who follow Jesus, but practically not functioning as such, just as we said last week in our prayer lives? A week rolls by, and how much of God's word have we read? Have we actually opened his word? I don't say that to make us feel guilty. It's easily done. But to ask, what does this say about our relationship with God if we're not talking to him or listening to him in his word? You may remember last week, those of you who were here, we heard Jesus' words, always pray, don't give up. Always pray, don't give up. I wonder what the impact of those words has been this past week. Has it made any difference? Two reasons it may not have done. These are reminders from last week, which are equally applicable to reading God's word. Set aside a time each day. Don't leave it to chance. If you don't plan, you won't pray. If you don't plan to read God's word, you won't. So pick a time and turn up. We talked about date nights last week. Maybe have a date with God and put time in your diary to listen to him and to pray to him. And combine your praying, secondly, with reading the Bible. Take what you read in the Bible and turn it into prayer. Read and pray and repeat, and read and pray and repeat. We may be so out of the habit that it's not actually a habit. We've never got into the habit of Bible reading. Be realistic. Habits take time to form. And if you don't know where to start the habit of reading the Bible, come and talk to Andy or me. Start with something like Mark's Gospel. That's a great place to start. Hearing what Jesus has to say. It takes time and it takes effort. If you've ever driven along one of those farm tracks in your car, you can get stuck in a rut. And it's an expression, of course, we use in life, isn't it? It takes a lot of effort to get out of the rut. The car keeps going back down into the ruts. You have to take effort to steer it out. But in the end, you get onto a better place. Well, now is a good time to set new patterns. I remember hearing some Korean Christians talk about a pattern that they had. They said, Bible before breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. It's nothing new. It's a pattern that some of you do, I know. It's a very good pattern. Think what the first thing you look at or hear or the words that you read are in the morning. Is it on your mobile, Facebook, Instagram, texts? Is that the word that will set you going for the day? Is that the best diet? Is that what will best direct you and shape you and encourage you as you seek to follow Jesus? Bible before bread. For man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, these words from Deuteronomy were words Jesus had on his lips. And with the remaining few minutes, I'd love you to turn with me and look at where he speaks. In Matthew chapter 4, in the New Testament, I'll give you a page number. It's page 967. Matthew chapter 4. This is the account. Jesus has just been heard the voice from heaven, from God, saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And then it picks up, chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus? 40 days. It is possible to fast that long. We know from people in the Maze prison and so forth, it is possible to go without food for that long. But you're right at the limits of irreversible damage. You'd be tired and weak and desperate. The temptation would be to eat, to food, to doubt God's provision, to doubt his love in the face of such circumstances. And we're meant to see here in Jesus' experience the parallel with what we read about in Deuteronomy of God's people. 40 years in the desert, Jesus 40 days. Would Jesus be like the Israelites and grumble and complain and be disobedient? No, for this is the obedient Son of God, tempted to doubt God, and how tempting it would have been. But he turns to his Father in heaven, to his word. An ancient word, but a present word, speaking to his situation as it did to the Israelites. And so he answers in verse 4, "It is written, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Self-interest would have been screaming, "Choose bread over obedience to God." But the pattern of Jesus that we see right at the beginning of his life, listening to his Father's voice, in fact, going to his Father's word and obeying it, that would be a pattern that would continue not only through his temptation, but through his entire life. And it would happen at his death. At the cross, he was obedient unto death, facing the greatest temptation, pleading with his Heavenly Father that he might not have to go through with it, but declaring, "Not my will, but yours be done." Trusting in God and in his word in the toughest of situations, but knowing that in his death would be our life. Jesus said elsewhere in John's Gospel, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven," speaking of himself. "Whoever eats this bread will live forever."
I mean, that's quite an offer, isn't it? Whoever eats this bread will live forever. What a promise. And what an encouragement then to come to God and his word and find life, life in all its fullness, now and into eternity. So, someone said to me this morning, what's the point of your sermon? That's a good question to ask. It's read God's word. It's listen to God's word. Pray and plan to do it. Ask God to help you find delight in his word, that it is sweeter than honey, as the psalmist says. You've heard it before. You'll hear it again. Our sinful hearts continue to need reminding. Bread and Bible. Better Bible and bread. For man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's pray. May we not only hear your word, but pay close attention to it. Thank you that it is the word of life that we find in Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may have an appetite, a desire, a hunger for it, far exceeding the hunger that we sometimes feel for physical food. Increase in us our heart's desire to know you, to love you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.